Meditation today is in Psalm 119, verses 81 through 88. That is section Kaf. Kaf. Now, that almost sounds, children, like cough, doesn't it? But it's not that way. It's the simple sound of the letter K. It's the same sound as we have as the letter K. Now, in our language, the letter K isn't used all that much. It's a less commonly used letter. It doesn't start very many words, and it's not in a lot of them, except sometimes put with the letter C. But in Hebrew, it's used a lot more. There are many words that have the letter kaf in them. So, once again, every one of these verses has a word at the very start that begins with the letter kaf. Beginning with verse 81, then, my soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word. My eyes fail from searching your word, saying, when will you comfort me? For I become like a wineskin in smoke, yet I do not forget your statutes. How many are the days of your servant? When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? The proud have dug pits for me, which is not according to your law. All your commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help me. They almost made an end of me on earth. But I did not forget your precepts. Revive me according to your loving kindness, that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. Now, 2 weeks ago, children, we last looked at section Yod, that tiniest letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And as I was speaking on the meditation, I forgot something that I hope I won't forget today. And I didn't even realize it at the time until after I'd gotten home in the evening, Sabbath 2 weeks ago. And that was, I said virtually nothing about Jesus. And all of Psalm 119 has Jesus through and through. So, children and adults, please forgive me for that terrible oversight. He is very easy to see in section Kaf here. I don't know that Jesus had these exact words on his lips, but surely they were in his heart at Gethsemane. There where he struggled with God's calling upon him. There where he shrank back from what God was calling him to do within the next few hours. Now we have a tendency to think, and I don't know that any of you went to see the Mel Gibson movie several years ago that was a big deal about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. I can't even remember the name of it right at the moment. But in any case, I hope you did not. It is not right to portray the Lord Jesus Christ in any visual way. But in any case, the movie seemed to be implying, from what I understand, that Christ's greatest suffering were his sufferings were of a physical nature. And it's indeed true that he was tormented and tortured. And to read of what was done to him and to think of it and to see it portrayed, I suppose, would be a terrible thing to see. But I assure you, friends, that is not what made Jesus say, Father, take this cup from me. Something far, far more grievous, something far, far more tormenting met him there at the cross. And it was bearing the anger, bearing the curse that he had not earned, that you and I, fellow believer, that we earned. He was bearing the shame, the curse, the anger of his Father upon himself for something he did not do, but something he willingly was responsible for. He took what sinners deserved. And because of that, he was able and is able to give sinners what he deserved and what they have not. And that is life everlasting. But you see, the night before, The prospect of it was so very clear before him. And he pleaded with his father that it might be removed from him. Yet all along, he continued just as the psalmist said, hundreds, maybe 1,000 years before, that he continued to hope in his word. He looked to his father for comfort that night and during the next day, and was entirely bereft of it by the time that he cried out in words that ought to smite every one of us. For it is for our sake that he had to cry them out. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus had to endure all that. And when we look at section Kaf here, verses 81 through 88, does not all of it fit with the Lord Jesus Christ? I don't need to spend a lot of time on that because it is so obvious that this is the heart of Jesus in Gethsemane and at the cross. Most glorious is what we see in verses 87 and 88 then. They almost made an end of me on earth, but I did not forsake your precepts. They thought they had, in fact, made an end of him on earth. But even as Jesus prayed, revive me according to your loving kindnesses, that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. There in verse 88, so he was on that first of the New Testament Sabbaths. He was raised victorious over death, because he had utterly paid off with death the penalty for his people. Now, there's something I'd like you to see here, and that is this. This, like all the rest of the Psalms, is made not only that we may see the heart of Jesus and give him praise and thanks with tears of gratefulness. It is not only given to us that we may give true worship to the Father. And these are the main things we should be seeing in the Psalms, of course. But they are made by our Creator who knows us through and through. They are startlingly honest sometimes. Because Jesus went through all this, you, believer, have the right and the privilege in your time of grief and dismay, and in your time of persecution, in your time of bewilderment, you may come to God with these words, knowing that your Savior has been there and has given you the right and the privilege to see not only his sufferings and to share in them, but to share in his deliverance as well. Man-made hymns are so often Pollyannish, especially the more modern sort. The older sort, I will have to concede, they are not necessarily. But they seldom are honest like this. So, when your heart is breaking, when you are grieved, when life has become so hard, look here. Jesus knows how it is. You do not have a high priest, friends, who cannot be touched with the feeling of your infirmities. For he was tempted in every way, like unto you, yet without sin. When your heart is so deeply discouraged, here you can go. Here you can go. When you feel like you're a wineskin in the smoke, stinging, cracked, and dry, here's where you can go. When you're persecuted, when the proud are digging pits for you, when you're persecuted wrongly, here's where you can go. And you can look to him who went through it all. Through and beyond it all, who was delivered and does deliver and shall deliver you. Well, let's sing from this now. In our psalm book, it's Selection K. Some of you have grown up singing hymns like me, and you know this tune perhaps as a Christmas carol. And in that connection, it's happy and a happy occasion and all that, but it's suitable for this as well. And let's remember, it ends up in joy too. It ends up with revival, with quickening, with redemption accomplished.